Okay. I have a question for y'all. You ready?
Yes.
What's going to happen in 85 days?
Election.
Passover.
It is Passover. Passover and days of unleavened bread. I mean, even though it's 85 days, you know, that's something that can go by very quickly because we have busy lives. You know, we do. And it'll be gone before you know it, but there is something we're supposed to do. But first I want to start, I have a slide here of a picture of City Hall. This is the this is where I've worked. I've worked there for 13 years now. And I've enjoyed it, it's been good, and they certainly do not want to see me retire. Of course, I told them, you'll know when I retire because you'll find me dead at my desk. So all is good, and I love it there, and I'm going to, of course, stay there. But those of you who work in an office environment or for a company probably realize one thing. What happens once a year in that organization? It's something called an employee performance review. How many of you experienced that? Yeah, once a year. Yes, yes, yes. And the reason I kind of bring this up is because I see this as a physical part of what we're supposed to do before Passover. We're supposed to look at ourselves, evaluate ourselves, because the one thing, what's the purpose of an employee performance evaluation? They're telling you where your weaknesses are, where your strong points are, and where you need to improve. Now, the one thing you have to understand about this, you need to listen to it, because they're usually tied to a meritorious raise. So if you don't do it, you don't get the raise, or you'll get a much smaller percentage of it. Or you may get the pink slip. But there is, and this is what I'm going to start going into, what God, He evaluates us. But He gives us the opportunity to evaluate ourselves first. Is something that we should do. Actually, we should be doing it all year. But I want to go to 2 Peter 1:4, kind of get started here, where it says, God made great and marvelous promises so that His nature would become part of us. Then we could escape our evil desires and the corrupt influences of this world. Well, here's another question. How does this process begin? It begins at baptism. It begins when you have this covenant between you and God. And in that covenant, He has made promises to you. And of course, we know what that promise is to be, when Christ returns, to be with Him and to be part of that millennium. And let's, and to go over to Hebrews 6:17, which states, God also bound Himself with an oath, so that those who receive the promise can be perfectly sure that He would never change His mind. Isn't that a good thing to know? That at baptism, and you enter into this relationship with God, and you have the Holy Spirit to know it's for sure. God has bound Himself with an oath never to take it away from you unless you make that decision to go the other way. It's a very comforting thing to know because we all fail. We all have our problems, and it's just nice to know that just do the right thing. When you need to, confess your sin, stay in the fight, and believe in that oath. It's there. It's to keep you. Because there is a statement by Abraham Lincoln that you see that says, commitment is what transforms a promise into a reality. And that says a lot, does it? Because I look at this, this is God's view, where He is saying, I am committed to you. And it will transfer that promise into a reality. It will happen. But God also looks at us and saying, where is your commitment? What level is your commitment? That is our responsibility. That is something we should constantly evaluate, saying, how committed am I to God and His way of life and the promises He has made? It's right there. Commitment. A promise into reality. You should find and take great comfort in that. Because let's go to Philippians 1:6. This is something I live by. Because when you're up in your age, hair's white, you think a lot about this. It says, God is the one who began this good work in you. And I am certain that He won't stop before it is complete on the day that Jesus Christ returns. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That you made that commitment and God made a commitment to you, that He bound Himself by an oath to perform a work in you. That work can only be done through the Holy Spirit. But you have that part too. You have to change. He gives you the power to do that. As we saw in 2 Peter 1:4, where he says, so that His nature would become part of us, then we could escape our evil desires and the corrupt influences of this world. You have to have the Holy Spirit to even recognize it, to even understand it, so you know, okay, I understand this. This is what I have to deal with. I have to commit myself to overcome it, even if it takes a lifetime. I've been in the church all my adult life. And I will be honest with you, the war isn't over with me. It's not. Yes, I'm committed to God. Yes, I believe Him. But there are a few things in my life that have not changed yet that I have fought, continue to fight. But it says right there, God who began this good work in you, He won't stop. I take great comfort in that, in knowing, yeah, Jeff, you got some things to really work on. It's been, 50 years now? But at least you're still fighting. I understand your heart. I understand your desires. I understand your love for me. So it's a continuation. It's like Maurice was saying, about David, because there's one thing about David. I love that part of what Maurice was talking about. The part I always go back to is when Nathan comes to David, tells him that story about the lamb. And then when Nathan said those words, you are that man, meltdown. I can only imagine David. Well, David responded to it. But there might be some things in your life too where you read some sort of parable or you read something somewhere and you hear those words. You are that man. I just recently had an experience with that. It brought me to my knees. Something, part of that lifelong fight of mine, that I let it go a little too far. The message came, stop now, or I'm going to meet you with a discipline. I heard and I listened. We have to be very, very careful about not listening. You have to be committed to it. Yes, I could possibly make that mistake again, but I'll go to my knees. My life belongs to God. I know I'm imperfect. I know I'm mortal. The fight goes on until this physical life ends. I'm prepared for that. I am doing that. I am committed to it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 28-29. It says, but let a man and a woman, you're involved in this too, examine themselves, so let him and both eat of the bread and drink of this cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, when I was young in the church, this struck fear in me because I didn't really understand it. You know, I was changing. I was, you know, working with the Holy Spirit, getting rid of this and that. And when it came time for Passover, I felt so unworthy. It's like, I'm not worthy enough to take the wine and the bread. I'm filthy with sin. That's what I'm referring to. But as time went on, learning what the problems were in the Corinthians church and what was meant by this unworthy manner, because it's defined that they were treating the Passover like a common meal. They were not discerning the symbolism of Christ's death through the wine and the bread. That made sense to me. I say, okay, I understand that. But I also understand I must be continuing working on change, getting rid of what should not be there. That's part of examining yourself, your performance. Where are you? Because I know a lot of us will make a commitment. We could, just before Passover, we know what our problem is. And they say, okay, I'm going to change this, and hopefully by next year, it won't be a problem. Next year comes. It's still there. But you have to ask the question, to what degree? Have I reduced the influence of it? That's the real question, because that's what God sees. He sees your effort. He says, I know you're there. Go ahead with the Passover. Keep your commitments going. Don't stop. Reducing the degree of the problem is important, if not eliminating it altogether. Now I want you to simply, I've got a slide that says, ask yourself. Now there's a question here. It's, do you recognize what you have done wrong? Because you're taking an attitude or saying something to yourself where it says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. That's a pretty direct question. Because in the past, I have met people that were in the church, and they denied and said, I have no sin. And I go, what are you talking about? I said, oh, I keep the law of God to the letter. I'm here every Sabbath. I attend the holy days. I do all those right things. How did he define sin? There's the physical part, which is the letter, the intent of the law. You could keep that perfectly. But Christ also mentioned the spiritual aspect of the law. 9 times out of 10, that's where the sin is. Because where does God judge? He doesn't judge by appearance. He judges by the heart. He knows what's in your heart. And Christ was very clear on that, violating the spiritual aspect of the law. You have to recognize that and understand it. Because as we move to 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is that really pointing to? It's pointing to being honest with yourself and with God. He knows your heart. And when you say to him, yes, I am a sinful individual, yes, I may be perfect in the letter of the law, but in the spirit of it, I fail. I need help with that. He's there to help you through his spirit, which will help you to take on the right nature that you need to take on. Let's go to Romans 7, verses 15 through 17, because I will be honest with you. This is a perfect mirror of myself. Because with some things that I struggle with, I really say that. I don't really understand myself. I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Does that speak to all of us? I mean, our heart's right. We want to do right, but there's still something within you that misleads you into doing what you hate or you know to be wrong. But in verse 16, it says, but if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. What does the law reveal? It reveals sin. And the only way to know that is to understand the law, especially the spiritual part of the law. You'll do the physical part with no problems. But it's the spiritual part of the law. And he goes and says, so I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Kind of sounds like an excuse, doesn't it? Say, no, it's not me. It's the sin that's in me. Well, what drives you to do what you don't want to do, even though you know it's wrong? It's sin. So in a sense, I know that. I've actually lived it. I'm always wanting to do right. That is my goal. But there are things that are not finished with yet that lead me astray in weakness. Because there are some things that I am strong, such as you. There's a defense there. You won't do that. But somewhere along that defense line is a weakness. There's a breach in the wall. Well, where do you think your enemy is? He's at the breach. That's how he gets through. That's how he entices you to do this thing until you finally realize the enemy is within. Sin. Conquer it. That's what's all being done here. And he continues in Romans 7, verse 23, saying, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And I would ask that question, is anybody out here that doesn't sin, that has no sin in their life? Well, it's because it's still there. And it is a war. It is what you struggle with. And you do it in all honesty and earnestness, saying, I've got to deal with this. You know, when he says there's a war, I understand what war is. I've served in the military. Your enemy is out to destroy you, just as you are out to destroy them. This is the spiritual side of it. There's a war there. Between your mortal side or your natural side, because you have the Holy Spirit also within you. They war. God is the stronger one, because when you totally rely on God and join His army, you're going to win over your opponent. That's what this is all about. And let's go to Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. Because this is our goal. This is what we're doing. This is part of the examination of ourselves for Passover, a renewing of our spirit, where it says, throw off your old sinful nature and former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. This is what we're fighting within ourselves. Deception, lust, an old sinful nature, a former way of life. You know, I kind of go, the way God dealt with me was kind of interesting, because my life up to 23, it was my own way. I lived a certain way. I was a surfer and all that kind of stuff, you know, lived the beach life and so forth. And there's things that go along with that that aren't healthy. But I never thought that I was ever doing wrong. I did no harm to anyone. And I was not a criminal, and I did not violate the law, except for what they didn't catch me in. It was nothing serious, but, you know, I was still doing it. It's when God came into my life, and all of a sudden I'm beginning to realize a way of life that was okay as long as I didn't understand. But now God is saying, it's not right, Jeff. It's a corrupted life that is guided by lust and deception. Took time to learn that. But once I was baptized, I got on that path. And God's very clear in that. Throw off that old sinful nature. And then we come to 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. How true is that? Because when I start sensing I'm weakening, that I'm kind of giving in to it, I have learned by going to God, understanding God, all these things He's taught me over the years, to use that to overcome the wrong direction I'm going. I think of the promises. I think of my life with Him and the experiences I've had, even going through some tough disciplinary actions. And let me tell you something, sometimes God can be very severe in His discipline, but the results is always good. No matter how hard it is, the end result was right. Strengthened me spiritually. And it says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Through the Holy Spirit, you know and you understand what righteousness is and holy. Ask yourself the question, are you committed to it? To what degree? To what percentage? 80%? 90%? 99.5%? Those are questions you need to ask yourself. Where am I headed? What is my attitude towards my future with God? Is it right? Is it there? Am I living it? Am I working towards that goal to be there on that day when Jesus Christ returns? That's the goal. I dream about that. I don't think I'll be alive when He returns, but in the resurrection, to be standing there with Jesus Christ, having spent an entire adult life learning about Him, allowing Him to change my life, so that good work within me is complete and I'm there. I live for that. I do. I want to be standing right there with Him, face to face. It's only one way to get there. You know what it is. You have to make that effort. You got to be committed to it. Okay, I have another question for you. It's the one we heard earlier. Do you commit never to do it again? In other words, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly, and he would never change his mind. Commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. So I'm coming back to that commitment thing. You know, it's like even with your job. Well, let's talk about your employment. How committed are you to it? Well, you obviously are, because it's your source of income. And if you're supporting a family, you don't want to lose that job because of what it would do. It's devastating. And yes, I've been fired a couple of times in my life. Yes, it was devastating. I mean, it was meltdown, pure panic, because I had a wife and two daughters. They were dependent on me for that income. I messed up, and what was the reason why? I wasn't fully committed to what I was doing. It cost me my job. But where the goodness came, where the blessing came, is when I finally got reemployed, it was a better job, and actually with an increase in income. Did good for a while, slipped up again, got fired from a six-figure salary. You talk about panic, down to the knees. Fortunately, God was merciful, and I was able to get reemployed again, but not at six figures, but I was reemployed again, and I learned my lesson. So I'm still employed, still doing well, but that discipline and that word commitment means so much. And you have to look at that. And you have to evaluate yourself against that commitment. Because it matters. It matters so much to God. And then I'm going to say, like, or are you searching for excuses? I know we've all done that. I have. It's like that one thing. It's what's in my mind. You know, it's not me doing it. It's the sin within me. Well, that's an excuse. How often have we done that? You know, we know we're not quite right, but we come up with an excuse saying, well, you know, it's the circumstances that are around me right now that I don't have any control of. So therefore, it's not me. It's the sin that's in me. But can you kind of see the difference there? You know, is it an actual fault, you know, an actual weakness, an actual, problem? Or are you just simply excusing yourself? Say, oh yeah, I'll entertain this for a couple of weeks and then I'll ask for forgiveness. Is that honesty? No. You're using it as an excuse. You need to recognize that. You need to deal with it because it'll hurt you in the end. The very thing that Maurice was talking about. You'll pay the price. You will. And then, I'm going to go to this because this says a lot. It says, the true test comes when you find yourself in the same situation and don't repeat your mistake. Only then have you proved you have really changed. Is that not part of the self-examination? That pretty much defines it. Because the test will come back. You may have convinced yourself, all done, I'm great, okay. And then that test sneaks back on you at a weak moment. Because that's when it will happen, is when you're in a weakness. Do you pass the test? Can you actually say, nope, I didn't sin. I've got this under control. Well, stay committed to that commitment. But that is a true test. That is something I think we experience all through our lives. Because, you know, it's, I'm winning the battles, but that I haven't won the war. I have dealt with that very thing for the entirety of my 50 years in God's church. There are times I'm strong. There are times that I win. But then there's those moments of weakness, and I find myself committing that sin. God says, you have to learn to recognize this, Jeff, because I'm going to keep bringing it back until you do something about it. I want to see the commitment to overcoming it. Do it. Now, I also have a quote here that this is what I'm ending with, because I like it. I like what it has to say. It says, the measure of a man's and woman's character, you're part of this too, real character is what he would do if he or she knew that he or she would never be found out. Isn't that how human nature works? I can do this because I know no one's going to find out. You know, it's kind of like an attitude like, okay, I'm out here in the world doing what you're in, you know, you're in the church. Okay, I'm out here in the world. There's no member around, 50, not even near me, 50 miles. And I'm doing this, but they will never know. Is that the right character? Of course it isn't, but it's something that happens. It's something that we do. But you always have to remember one thing. God sees all. Fellow man may not, but God does. So what I'm encouraging you to do is, now's the time to start looking at yourself. Start looking at your commitments to God and do that evaluation and set some goals like, okay, I need to improve here. Well, commit to it. So, brethren, enjoy your evaluation.